Good morning. Good morning. So good to see everybody gathered together for our worship time this morning. Exciting to always be here to see how God is going to guide our time together. I do have a few announcements, but before we get to those announcements, to make sure we're aware of a few things. If you are a guest, whether it's your first time or you've been many times and you've not filled out a guest card, we would love for you to do so. Those are located right in front of you, and that's just to give us a little information about yourself, to let us know you were here, and to let us know if we can contact you with some further information, and we're excited you've joined us this morning. A few things, like I mentioned, the youth will be going to a Durham Bulls game July 21st to sing the national anthem. This will be the third year in a row they've done that, and so they keep calling back and say, when can we get them to come sing again? So we're excited for them to go and sing the national anthem, and everybody is welcome, but I do need everybody signed up today so we can go out and support that on a Monday evening, July 21st. Also, next Sunday is Baptist Men's Breakfast, so I hope to see all the men out there next Sunday as well. Do we have any other announcements before we begin? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. God, thank you so much for calling us together into your presence, Lord, as your church. God, as you guide us this morning with a time of worship, a time of studying your word, a time of reflection, encouragement, fellowship, Lord, may we be aware of your Holy Spirit's presence here among us and through us in our lives. God, as we respond to you this morning, open our hearts. Show us what we need to be thinking, how we need to be concerned, and what we need to pray about, Lord, so we can be aware of your will and the ministry we're involved in here, Lord. Prepare us for the week ahead that everything is before us so it can be done in your name. And God, we always pray in your Son's holy and precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let us spend several moments preparing our hearts for worship. Thank you.
Let's turn in our hymnals to page 586. We've a story to tell, and we'll sing all of this fine old hymn. It's a good way to challenge us in our service of the Lord. Let's all stand.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you give us each and every day, and we thank you for allowing us to come into your home today and hear the words that you're sending us through Gary. We ask that they might open our hearts and our minds to hear these words and to follow the directions. Father, we ask that you bless these offerings and tithes and use it to further your kingdom, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
see all of you sitting down here. I love our time together. As I was getting ready to make my announcements, I saw someone walking down with your worship bag. I love that. It does my heart good. I love to see how God's going to teach us each and every morning. And you know I like to ask a few questions to start off. So it's summertime, and you may have seen your parents or grandparents be working in the garden. I wanted to ask you, have you ever helped work in a garden before? Raise your hand if you've ever helped work in a garden before. Some of you have. What are some of your favorite foods that you might get from a garden that you like? Cucumbers. I like that. Good. That took yours, right? Corn. I heard broccoli. Strawberries. What about watermelon? That's good too, right? Now, you know it's a lot of... Do you have a favorite thing? Green beans. I love that. I love to hear our vegetables. That's a good thing. Well, you know that working in gardens are a lot of work. And I have a few items that you will need to work in a garden. So I wanted to see if you could recognize them. Everybody see that? That's easy, right? That's a shovel. You might need a shovel, right? What's that one? Rake. You might need a rake, right, to work in a garden. Yeah, if it's not raining, right, you need a water hose. Make sure you water the garden, right? Now, this one might be a little harder. Spade. Good. That's right. And, of course, you need what? You need seeds, right? You need to plant the seeds so you can watch everything grow as you work in your garden, right? Well, Jesus tells us a story about a farmer who sows seed. But he's actually not teaching people about a garden like we have in the back of our church. And everybody in Children's Church this morning will go to the church garden and learn more about that. So I'm going to read to you what Jesus says in Matthew 13 about a farmer planting seed. And then I'm going to tell you what he's really teaching us, okay? Listen to what Jesus says. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. So Jesus isn't really teaching us about a farmer sowing seed and seeing what's going to be grown with hard work. What Jesus is saying is when we read the Bible and have the Bible taught to us, we need to listen to what's being taught to us, listen to what we read in the Bible, and then do it. We have to make sure that we do what the Bible says. And it's a lot of hard work. So I hope and pray that you'll always remember that the time that we have here at church, reading the Bible, learning about what God says in the Bible, and the time you have at home with your parents learning and reading in the Bible, you always do what it says, okay? Let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for Jesus teaching us how important it is to listen to what the Bible says, to listen to what you teach us, and to always do it. God, we pray that you show us how to do that. Amen. I'll see you all next week.
Page 604, come all Christians, be committed to the service of the Lord, to be used by Christians, or I'll start that again, to be used by Christians freely to proclaim his wonderful love. Come again to serve the Savior. Tithes and offerings bring with you, and in your work with him, find favor, and with joy his praises sing. Page 604, let's all stand.
Thank you. You may be seated. What a powerful hymn to renew our sacred vows before the Lord again. And one of those sacred vows is our prayer list. And folks that we are praying for, I was talking with Gail just a little bit earlier, and we will be praying for Heather, who's going to be going on August the 13th to have a consultation with a cardiologist about what needs to happen, and it could involve some big procedures. And so we want to be remembering Heather and that family in a very special way over these next few weeks as they wait, and pray for that patience to wait for those long appointments out. Also, we want to be remembering the Patrick Kelly family. There will be a memorial service here at 11 o'clock. There will be a visitation in our fellowship hall on Tuesday at 10 o'clock, and then the service will be Tuesday at 11 o'clock here in the sanctuary. We certainly want to be keeping that family in our prayers in a very, very special way. I know Debbie Hurley will be going to see an oncologist at Chapel Hill on the 22nd. I want to continue to remember Debbie in our prayers. And my mom is back at Sanford Rehab in room 111, and we certainly appreciate your prayers for her. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before you with many sacred vows. We promise to make you Lord of our life, to serve you with all that we have and all that we are. That is a big and a total commitment. Would you speak to us about that commitment today as we have sung hymns of service and as we will then read from your word about how Christ came as a servant to save us. And we pray that we might be thinking like a servant. And one of those servanthood thoughts are those on this prayer list. So we lift them not only in this moment to your care, but we lift them, O God, that you might have your hand upon them in a very special way. And that even now through this moment of prayer, that Lord, you would either change their circumstance or change them to face their circumstance. God, would you strengthen us that we might be instruments of your grace and of your mercy and of your love to these and all those who have need. In Christ's name we pray.
Angels we sing.
Thank you, choir. Indeed, that is our story all the day long. And thank Regina and Leonard for that introduction. And I know Leonard was playing Elaine's trumpet, because I know Leonard would never toot his own horn. Don't you agree? And I know Leonard is a little bit uncomfortable that August the 17th is going to be Leonard Harris Appreciation Sunday at Flat Springs Baptist Church, a day that we voted in our business meeting today to collect a love offering to express our appreciation to him and his family for their tremendous service to our church. And Leonard never toots his own horn. He has served very faithfully because he loves the Lord, and I appreciate his service so very, very much. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. What are you thinking? How are you thinking? In Philippians chapter 2, we find that continuation of Paul's thought in chapter 1. He said to love God first. And then he says, others. Today we're going to be thinking about what it means to have the mind of Christ as a servant. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read the first 8 verses. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Verse 7, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient. Next Sunday's message, obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most holy word. And might God say a word to us today. Would you pray with me? Lord, you know what we're thinking right now. Help us to worship with the heart and mind of a servant. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our concluding hymn today is going to be page 589, Ye Servants of God, 589. What are you thinking? I wonder if someday there will be the technology that Spock had on Star Trek. Remember Spock? Anybody here know how to do a mind meld with these two fingers? You know Spock could do that. I wonder what it would be like if suddenly the technology was available that maybe in one of those balloons like a cartoon, every thought we had would suddenly blow up above our head. And I could stand right here and say, well, she's thinking, he's thinking. We might not like that, had we? That would be Big Brother on steroids, don't you think? What are you thinking? Sometimes when we're thinking, even trying to think good, we can end up wrong. Seems that this dear lady had an issue with shopping. She loved to shop. She would go to the post office to get stamps and come back with a pocketbook and a new pair of shoes. She'd go to the grocery store to get milk and come back with a new dress. And it was beginning to be a strain in her relationship with her husband. And they listened to a sermon one Sunday about how we can pray, God, help us overcome temptations, and say, as Christ said, get behind me, Satan. And so the husband thought, well, this might be what we need. And said, honey, the next time you feel that urge to go and buy something we weren't planning on, remember, get behind me, Satan. The very next day, she was on an errand to the hardware store to pick up a list of things they were doing in the backyard. And when she came home, she was wearing a new dress. A new dress. And he said, honey, but what happened? She said, well, I did what you said. You did. You said, get behind me, Satan. I did. Well, what happened? I said, get behind me, Satan. And Satan said, it looks even better from the back. You ought to buy this dress. What are you thinking? I wonder if today there's some habit we've come that you don't have to convince us we need to give it up. We know. But our thinking gets in the way. Because when we start to say, I'm not going to do that, or I am going to do that, we start thinking. We've been looking for several weeks at thinking with the mind of Christ. Thinking differently. Thinking not in our natural way of thinking, but thinking with our heart instead of just our self-centered head. Now, I know that probably most of the orientations are over and all of our young folks are fixing to head out to college. Some will be returning, some going for the first time. And I don't even know if they have a major at college called servanthood. I don't remember one when I was there. And usually, being a servant is not a career path that we might even want. And yet, in this text and in many other texts, I think of Jesus when he knelt in the upper room and washed the disciples' feet, the role of a servant. Christ was a servant. And he calls us to be servants too. Why would Christ put off the robes of glory, that role of God, and become flesh? I like what the text says. He became nothing compared to where he was and who he was. He put on humanity. And I like what the message says. He became human and he stayed human, even through the cross. Why would God become a servant? Why would the Creator come to serve the created? It's not an easy answer to the question, is it? What are you thinking? If Christ became a servant, should I become a servant? And how about what kind of servant? Serve people? People? You ever slowed down and let somebody get in front of you when they were trying to pass and they didn't even wave back at you? Isn't that irritating? You ever held the door open at a convenience store and somebody walked right through that door that you were holding for them and they never even paid attention to you? And you just put somewhere in your back of mind, boy, if I see them again. Servant-minded. How about in our families? Being a servant. How about at work or at school? Being a servant. Well, I think there are three truths that we can gain from Christ's example on what a servant is. The first thing is, a servant is a lover. Three things a servant loves. First, they love God. An unloving servant is not serving well. I remember one of the chores my children hated, and by the way, still do, is picking green beans. And somebody said green beans there in the children's sermon. And on those mornings when we would have to get up early because it was cooler, and green beans choose to grow best when it's hottest, and I would say, it's time to go pick the green beans. Well, let's just say that wasn't the happiest announcement I could have made that morning as I awakened my children to the task. But I found that if you don't love to do something, you don't do it very well. Chores, those hard things to do, those ungrateful people, those people who aren't like me, serving. I think that our youth had just returned back from Whitley City, and I saw all the things they were texting and putting on Facebook as they were there and in the midst of being servants. And they began to say things on their Facebook about, I'm going to see things differently. I'm going to see life differently. I'm not going to take some things for granted. I realize some things. I want to suggest today that the most important thing we can do to be a servant, the starting place to servanthood, the starting place to servant-minded is loving God. What are you thinking? How many times has God crossed your mind today? I'm serious. How many times has God crossed our mind today? We're in the midst of worship. Would you agree with me that maybe one time, maybe more than one time, you have sat through an entire worship service, you have sung, you have bowed your head, you have listened to the message, and you have walked out. But honestly, honestly, we have never yet thought really about God. Not really. Not to the point where we're saying, God, Lord of my life, the one I love with all my heart and all my strength and all my spirit. If we serve for any other reason than our love for God, then our service is less. I love what Martin Luther, the great reformer, said several centuries ago when he said, what is it to serve God and to do His will? Nothing else than to show mercy to our neighbor. I want you to listen to this last sentence Martin Luther said. For it is our neighbor who needs our service. God in heaven needs it not. Why do I serve my neighbor? Because I love my Lord. I remember when I was a teenager, there was a popular song. I guess it would have been, that would have been a contemporary song before we had this contemporary world we have today. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and fill the thirsting of my soul. And I remember there was a lot of messages going around about when we fill our cup with the love of God, it overflows. And servanthood should always be the overflow of our love for God. Loving others through our love for God is how our service becomes ministry. Loving others through our love for God is how our service turns from just being service into ministry. We've made love a feeling. Love that sustains us is a spiritual commitment, not a feeling. We're to love and to serve because we were loved and we were served. Where? I'm glad you ask. Verse 7, our text says, "But he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of the death, even death on the cross." That's where we were served. That's where your salvation and my salvation was secured. Are we serving? Oh, I know that people are hard to serve. Sometimes they do the silliest things, don't they? I remember reading a story about years ago when most folks had straight drives. And you know, there's one thing about a straight drive. If you had it and it wouldn't crank, you could push it. And if you pushed it and got it going, a lot of times it would hit and go. Well, here it was 3 o'clock one morning, and there was a loud pounding on the back door. And man got up and went to his back door, and there was a fellow that had been drinking more than he should. If he'd been Baptist, he wouldn't have been drinking at all, but he'd been drinking more than he should. And there he was, standing in the pouring rain, and he said, "I need a push." "Not a chance," the man said. "It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's pouring down rain. Get off my yard," and slammed the door. Came back to bed. Well, you know what the wife asked, right? Who was it? "Just some drunk guy needing a push," he answered. "Well, did you help him?" "No, I didn't help him. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's pouring rain outside." His wife said, "Don't you remember about 3 months ago we were broke down? Two guys stopped by. They gave us a push and got us going. I think you should go help him and be ashamed of yourself." Wasn't what he wanted to hear, but he knew it was true. So he got back up, put his clothes on, got his umbrella out, and headed to the back door, opened the door, hoping the fellow was gone, and hollered out in the darkness, "Hey, are you still there?" "Yeah," came an answer. "Do you still need a push?" "Yeah." "Where are you?" "Over here on the swing. I'll wait for you." 3 o'clock. Drunk. On the swing. People. If we serve people because of people, I wouldn't serve people. Because people make bad choices. People do silly things. But I don't serve people for people. I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. And when I serve you, I'm doing my best to show him how much I love him. Not only are we lovers of God and lovers of others, we're finally lovers of ourselves. Maybe you might want to remember or write this down. I think we need Christ esteem, not self-esteem. I think that Christian servant mentality is how I should love myself. My value should not be in what I can do, but in what God can do in me. So I believe we need Christ esteem, not self-esteem. I think we need Christ living in us and loving ourselves as an instrument of God's grace. Servants are lovers, but they're also learners. They learn from God. We can't be a good servant unless we're daily learning. Let me ask this question. What did God teach you yesterday? What did God teach you Friday? I'll read the Mark passage that Matt used for his children's sermon. And when we as servants quit being learners, Maybe, just maybe, this speaks to us. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, they hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Are we learning? Are we still learning? My dad used to say he thought degrees ought to have, college degrees ought to have an expiration date. Well, we need Sunday school next week because some of the things we know will have expired by next Sunday, don't you think? We need to always be learning. Every moment of every day, we need to be those kind of learners that are always learning from God. The more I talk to God, the more He teaches me. The more I read His Word, the more I understand His plan. Servants are learners. And we learn from life. We're always looking. I used to tell the youth when I was helping them and they were fixing to go on a trip to look for their God moments. We need to always be looking for God moments because as we learn, they'll teach us. I think the problem that I have, and maybe you have, is sometimes I get to stopping places. Maybe I'm not learning as much. Maybe I'm not moving in my faith as strong or as long as I need to be, as I should be. Let me ask you, do you remember or know the name William Booth? It's a famous name. Another name is that of James Coffey. Just as important, but well less known than William Booth. But it was in May of 1846 that William Booth and James Coffey would connect in a God moment. You see, this almost forgotten evangelist, James Coffey, was visiting in Nottingham, England, and he preached a sermon on the words of St. Mark. Here's the text. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Coffey preached, and here's his message, that the key to this verse of praying for anything and getting it was that we needed to develop the characteristics of a servant to help the poor and spread the gospel. Let me say that again. Coffey preached that the key to this verse was to learn the desire of God and that the foremost desire of God is that we develop the characteristic of a servant to help the poor and to spread the gospel that souls might be saved. There was a gangly young man there. He'd been saved for 2 years, but according to his own testimony and his own autobiography, he'd been drifting. He'd been drifting. Anybody here today drifting? He'd been drifting. What are you thinking about? He'd been drifting. But that day in May 1846, God spoke to this gangly young man through the evangelist James Coffey. The Holy Spirit gave the young man a passion to desire to be a servant. The young man acted on God's direction and he devoted himself to that call. And he started an organization committed to helping the poor and sharing the gospel. That sermon on desiring servanthood inspired William Booth to fulfill his destiny and become the founder of the Salvation Army, which is still twofold in his purpose. Back to James's sermon. To help the poor and to win the lost. A servant minded. I wonder what we're thinking today about our servanthood. Because finally this morning, servants are leaders. We lead by our actions to transform others. We need to constantly be being transformed ourselves. To keep all of our words under the lordship of Jesus Christ won't make them so strange when we say the holy words of our faith. We're to be leaders. Oh, that may not mean that we're going to stand in front of a large congregation and preach, or a large assembly and sing, or it may not be that we're even going to be the chairman of any committee, but it does mean we'll be servants. And we will lead by our actions. We'll let others see that Christ is our first love. We'll let others see that we love Him and we serve them because we love Him. We'll hold the door open at the convenience store for the person who doesn't even say thanks the next time we see them. Because servants are leaders with our actions and with our words. And finally, we're leaders with our love and with our learning. When we are properly trained as servants, we lead others by our servanthood. You know those people that you've seen them doing things and you thought, I know why they're doing that. They're not doing that because they love the Lord. They're doing that because they're doing this, that, or the other. But then we know those other people, don't we? You know those other people? They just keep showing up quietly, faithfully, serving. They don't do it because of what you think or what I think. They do it because they love the Lord with all their heart, with all their mind, with all the souls. We know those people, don't we? What you thinking? What you thinking right now about God? About your love for God? About what God means to teach us? And about how we're allowing God to lead our life, that our life might lead others in word and deed, to help the poor and save the lost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you that in this moment of choice and decision, that we could right now in this moment say, Lord, I want to think about you and my relationship with you right now. And if there's any part of it, oh God, that isn't what it needs to be, then I think, no God, I know. I want to begin to have the mind of Christ about that particular thing. You know every heart. And Lord, you know every thought. And you know every commitment. Help us to know you as a servant. And thank you for Christ, who came as a servant and gave us eternal life. In His name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is page 589. Ye Servants of God, page 589. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some choice or decision for Him, then now is that moment. What are we thinking as we stand together?
Thank you.
Again, we are delighted that we have gathered at this place to worship our Lord in spirit and truth. Trust you'll read the bulletin and be involved in all the areas of opportunity that shall be ours. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people, His servant people, in the midst of all. Would you pray with me? God, because we love you, we serve others. In Christ's name, amen.